ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्प्रायशो भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation, Chapter 5, entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam to Vyasadeva, for Vyasadeva. Text number 15. Jugupsitam dharma krite nushasatah. जुगुप्सितं धर्मकृते नुशासतः स्वभावरक्तस्य महान् व्यतिक्रमः. स्वभावरक्तस्य महान् व्यतिक्रमः. यद्वाक्यतो धर्म इतीतरः स्थितो यद्वाक्यतो धर्म इतीतरः स्थितो न मन्यते तस्य निवारणं जनः. न मन्यते तस्य निवारणं जनः. युगुप्सितं धर्मकृते नुशासतः स्वभावरक्तस्य महान् व्यतिक्रमः. यद्वाक्यतो धर्म इतीतरः स्थितो न मन्यते तस्य निवारणं जनः. युगुप्सितं धर्मकृते नुशासतः स्वभावरक्तस्य महान् व्यतिक्रमः. यद्वाक्यतो धर्म इतीतरः स्थितो न मन्यते तस्य निवारणं जनः. जुगुप्सितं वेरीली कंडेम्ड धर्म कृते फॉर द मैटर ऑफ रिलीजन अनुशासतः इंस्ट्रक्शन स्वभाव रक्तस्य नेचुरली इंक्लाइन महान ग्रेट व्यतिक्रमः अनरीजनेबल यत् वाक्यतः अंडर हूज इंस्ट्रक्शन धर्मः रिलीजन इति इट इज दस इतरः द पीपल इन जनरल स्थितः फिक्स्ड न डू नॉट मन्यते थिंक तस्य ऑफ दैट निवारणं प्रोहिबिशन जनः दे. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. Purport. Srila Vyasadeva's compilation of different Vedic literatures on the basis of regulated performances of fruitive activities as depicted in Mahabharata and other literature is condemned herewith by Srila Narada. The human beings by long material association life after life have a natural inclination by practice to endeavor to lord it over material energy. They have no sense of responsibility of human life. This human form of life is a chance to get out of the clutches of illusory matter. The Vedas are meant for going back to Godhead, going back home, to revolve in the cycle of transmigration in a series of lives numbering 8,400,000 is an imprisoned life for the condemned conditioned souls. The human form of life is a chance to get out of this imprisoned life. And as such, the only occupation of human being is to re-establish his lost relationship with God. Under the circumstances, one should never be encouraged in making a plan for sense gratification in the name of religious functions. Such diversion of human energy results in a misguided civilization. Srila Vyasadeva is the authority in Vedic explanations in the Mahabharata, etc. And his encouragement in sense enjoyment in some form or other is a great barrier for spiritual advancement, because the people in general will not agree to renounce material activities which hold them in material bondage. At a certain stage of human civilization, when such material activities in the name of religion, as sacrificing animals in the name of yajna, were too much rampant, the Lord incarnated himself as Buddha and decried the authority of the Vedas in order to stop animal sacrifice in the name of religion. This was foreseen by Narada, and therefore he condemned such literatures. The flesh eaters still continue to perform animal sacrifice before some demigod or goddess in the name of religion, because in some of the Vedic literatures, such regulated sacrifices are recommended. They are so recommended to discourage flesh eating, but gradually the purpose of such religious activities is forgotten and the slaughterhouse becomes prominent. This is because foolish materialistic men do not care to listen to others who are actually in a position to explain the Vedic rites. In the Vedas, it is distinctly said that the perfection of human life is never to be attained either by voluntary work or by accumulation of wealth or even by increasing the population, but it is so attained only by renunciation. The materialistic men do not care to listen to such injunctions. According to them, the so-called renounced order of life is meant for those who are unable to earn their livelihood because of some corporeal defects, or for persons who have failed to achieve prosperity in family life. In histories like Mahabharata, of course, there are topics of transcendental subjects along with material topics. The Bhagavad Gita is there in the Mahabharata. The whole idea of the Mahabharata culminates in the ultimate instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, that one should relinquish all other engagements and should engage oneself solely and fully in surrendering unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. But men with materialistic tendencies are more attracted to the politics, economics, and philanthropic activities mentioned in the Mahabharata than to the principal topic, namely the Bhagavad Gita. This compromising spirit of Vyasadeva is directly condemned by Narada, who advises him to directly proclaim that the prime necessity of human life is to realize one's eternal relation with the Lord and thus surrender unto him without delay. A patient suffering from a particular type of malady is almost always inclined to accept eatables which are forbidden for him. The expert physician does not make any compromise with the patient by allowing him to take partially what he should not at all take. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that a man attached to fruitive work should not be discouraged from his occupation, for gradually he may be elevated to the position of self-realization. This is sometimes applicable for those who are only dry empiric philosophers without spiritual realization, but those who are in the devotional line need not be always so advised. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुर्वे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं मोकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्गायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम् वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो टुडेज वर्स इन दिस फिफ्थ चैप्टर वेयर नारद मुनि इज इंस्ट्रक्टिंग व्यासदेव एंड both we can see they both are very exalted personalities, so it's a very important discussion and there are many things we can learn from here. So first of all, if we see why did he start to write all the Ved, the literature, why did he divide the Vedas in four? Basically his motivation was to help the future generations so that they can advance spiritually. So he could see that, you know, this degraded time would come and people will be very agitated, their minds would be very agitated and they won't be able to retain this sound vibration, these instructions. So that's why these literatures were written down and that's why we have these written forms. So that was his motivation for writing these massive texts. So if you see, there are many authors, they write different literature, but the motivation is totally different. So motivation is money making. They want to make a lot of money. So there are different, they settle different terms, you know, some they go to different types of publishers, you know, small publisher or a big publisher, and they have different terms. Either they can get a one-time payment or they can get something called royalty. So royalty is like based on if the author expects, oh, this book is going to sell over next many years, so he would settle on an agreement for royalty, and then based on the sales he would keep getting the percentage of the sales. So that's their motivation from beginning. There, while writing, their consciousness is consciousness of materialistic authors is to get money. How can I get things, get money and other things by producing this literature? So that's very low class motive. But Vyasadeva here wrote these different texts with a great motive to help the society. So that's what is very, we should appreciate that about these sages who live their life to give to others. And still we see he compiled so many literature, he was not very satisfied. And ultimately this discussion has come up between Narad Muni and his disciple Vyasadeva. So this discussion is so important that it took place long time ago, but still we are benefiting from it. That's the importance. And the very important verse of Bhagavad Gita, as we know, how to approach the spiritual master, tadvidhi pranipathena pariprashnena sevya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. So the guru is tattvadarshi, he knows the truth. He knows the truth. So a disciple approaches him very humbly and submissively, and he asks questions and he serves him. So here we see Vyasadeva, he is not proud after writing such Mahabharata and other literature, Puranas, and dividing the Vedas into four and many branches. So he is not at all proud. Generally, a materialistic author, he may get proud just, you know, by writing one paragraph, one article, you know, you can become proud. But he has written so massive literature, but he is not at all proud. So he is recognizing that, oh, actually within heart I am not satisfied. And then he approaches his spiritual master very submissively, and he puts this question in front of him, okay, why am I not satisfied fully? So then, here Narad Muni mildly chastises him, that he condemns him that you missed out the main, to focus mainly on the pastimes of Krishna and glorifying Krishna. So this writing of this Srimad Bhagavatam is like a service that Sevya, Pranipathena Pariprashnena Sevya. So he asked the question and then he did the seva, he did the service. So he said, okay, you glorify, he instructed to his disciple, and then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. So this literature has been written as a service to his guru and to the human society. So that's the importance, and that's why it's so perfect, because it relates directly to Krishna and it's written in a correct spirit and by a top class personality, on the instruction of another top class personality, first class. So that's why. So that's the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we see Narad Muni, a guru is, as a doctor never hides the disease of the patient, that's the guru is directly pointing out that this is the defect. And here he is using a strong word, jugupsitam, first word. It's verily condemned what you have done, because you have put more focus on dharma, artha, kama, all these things, and people have this mentality to enjoy. So this is verily condemned. So yesterday Gangeshwar Prabhu was also saying that these scriptures are very frank. They don't, although Vyasadeva is such an elevated personality, but he did a mistake and he is condemned here. So what to speak of other personalities? So that's why the scriptures tell the truth. Even if a big personality does a mistake, it's given here. But then it is also given how they rectified their mistake and how they took shelter of Krishna and Guru. So that's what is exemplified here. So although Narad Muni is chastising Vyasadeva, but this is their relationship. So this is the relationship between Guru and disciple. So disciple should be ready to be corrected by guru, shiksha guru or biksha guru. He should be ready. If there is an authority who knows, who is tattvadarshi, knows the facts, so one should be ready to be chastised by him or her. So same thing we see in Bhagavad Gita, that when Arjun is presenting his doubts and he presents himself as disciple to Krishna, shishyasteham shadi mam tvam prapannama, now I am your disciple, you tell me what should I do. So there also Krishna mildly chastises him that, you know, what the words you are speaking, it's, you know, not worthy of, you shouldn't speak such words, you know, this doesn't be, they don't befit you like that. So he also chastises. So this the chastisement of a guru is actually a very sweet, it's because of the sweet relationship. If you know, if guru doesn't chastise, and it is said, actually one devotee was telling me, you know, he was saying, if someone is just very diplomatic with you. No, yeah, okay, you're doing good. Although you make do mistakes and one doesn't point that out, and he's very diplomatic, yeah, yeah, like that. So actually, then that devotee was telling me D for diplomacy and D for distance. Means he's keeping a distance from you, one who is diplomatic. So Guru actually, when there is a close relationship, Guru is very, he's ready to criticize positively and to correct you and chastise you. So that's what these examples are. Krishna is chastising Arjuna. Narad Muni is mildly chastising Vyasadeva. So this is the sweet relationship. In a relationship, then the person who is being chastised doesn't mind, because it's for his benefit. And you see, even Krishna, he wants to taste all these relationships a little different way, like how Krishna was being chased by Mother Yashoda, you know, with a stick. But he was enjoying that relationship. Because there is a close relationship, he enjoys that. He appreciates there are yogis meditating on his form, there are, you know, different sages chanting the hymns, big mantras. He's pleased by that. Different penances are being performed by various sages. He's very pleased because it's based on the scriptures, but he's not as pleased when, you know, Mother Yashoda is chasing him. He's very, more pleased then. So he allows the yogmaya potency to cover himself, and he's actually frightened. He's not acting. He's actually frightened because he allows yogmaya potency to cover himself. So it is said in Golok Vrindavan, there is this yogmaya which covers even Krishna and all other devotees. They don't know that he is God. He doesn't know that he is God. So they have just have relationship. This is my mother, and the mother is thinking this is my son. Friends, Gopas are thinking this is our friend, equal to us. Or actually sometimes lower, because I defeated him in fight, like that. So this is the relationship. And then we have yogmaya which transforms into mahamaya in this material world. But it is said in Vaikuntha Lok there is no maya. There neither yogmaya nor mahamaya. There is, it's clear. Okay, Lord Narayan is God and we are his servant. Very clear. So this yogmaya is very it's very nectarian, because for these nectarian pastimes it covers all the devotees and Krishna himself. So this chastisement and this relationship, this close relationship, is very important between devotees and Krishna and his devotees. There is a pastime from Chaitanya Leela in which when Sanatana Goswami came to visit Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri, so there was another devotee, Jagdanand Pandit. So there, Jagdanand Pandit, after some time, he advised him, okay, after seeing Rath Yatra, you must go back to Vrindavan. And then he said, okay, and then he spoke to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, okay, I have been advised by Jagdanand Pandit to go back to Vrindavan after Rath Yatra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became angry. He said, he chastised Jagdanand Pandit that, oh, you are just a boy, you know, young boy. How do you think you are competent enough to advise Sanatana Goswami, who is such a great authority on Shastras, like that? So he was chastising him and he was praising Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami at once fell at lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, now I can understand how close is Jagdanand Pandit to you, because you are chastising him and you are appreciating me, and this is not very nectarian. You know, you are putting me on a high place and I am a big authority. So he was very distressed by that. So he was saying, your relationship with Jagdanand Pandit is like, you know, he's drinking nectar, nectarian beverage. And to me, you are offering like a bitter juice. like that. So this is the beauty of this pastime, these different pastimes. So if there is a personality who wants to correct you, and he chastises you, we should accept that. There is one devotee, Sri Gaura Prabhu, he always used to say that the thing which is bitter on the tongue is very good for the stomach, you know, like bitter melon and other things, purifies. But the thing which is very, you know, palatable, it may not be good for the stomach. If you take too many sweets and, you know, it's not, actually sweets are not required for the body, it's just for tongue, you know. And body doesn't require that much, that many sweets. And from one extreme example, one devotee was telling me yesterday or day before, there was one man who ate so many sweets, he was addicted. So one day he was sleeping, and when he woke up, there were ants all over the body. So he became like, you know, like you put the iron rod becomes iron. So he ate so many sweets, he became like a big sweet. So then he went to doctor, and doctor said, you have very, very high diabetes. You know, like that. So things which are very palatable may not be, you know, actually beneficial for your, in your long run. So that's why we should actually appreciate people when they correct us, if they are on a position of authority, like that. So here he's condemning, Narad Muni is condemning Vyasadeva, that why did you do this, you know. People are naturally inclined to enjoy. So that's the natural inclination of a spirit soul when it's conditioned in material world. Conditioning means we want to be lord. So in material world, everyone wants to be lorded over, wants to control, position of control. So everyone does it in different way. But the principle is same. We want to lord it over. We want to be in a position of control. So that's... and then he's saying, you have encouraged that. So the real principle here, it's mentioned that how the real principle of renunciation should, the real renunciation should have been mentioned. Real renunciation is not a very dry thing, as Mayavadi sannyasis may perform, a very dry process of renunciation. The real renunciation is actually the real devotional service. There was one comment actually by Prabhupada, one of his lectures or maybe a letter. He was saying like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were considered real renunciants, you know, the standard renunciants. So he was saying their mendicantism is actually just external. It's just external. Actually, within, they are relishing the highest tastes of devotional service. So just externally, because they don't want to waste time. Raghunath Das Goswami used to chant and perform other remembering and chanting activities for 22 hours a day. Just 1.5 hours, something like that, he would take rest. Because he doesn't have time for, you know, body. You know, he would eat little, sleep little, and sometimes that also he would forget. It was not possible on some days. But actually they were relishing very high tastes. It's not that they are depriving themselves of big plate of food or prasadam or sleep. No, they don't feel like, because they are on advanced platform. So that is real renunciation, to dedicate all our activities, ourselves to Krishna. So in 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, actually first two verses, in the first verse of 18th chapter, Arjuna is asking that Krishna, what is actually the purpose of renunciation or tyag, and what is the renounced order of life? So this is very important for all of us to understand. So Krishna explains, he gives the definition in second verse of tyag and sannyas. So he says, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyas. And giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation or tyag. So this is real renunciation. To give up the results of activities. So we are doing different devotional activities. But if we want the result for ourselves, so then that is like a material desire within us. So same, we can book distribution marathon is there. So we have to work on the motivation always. So if the motivation is, okay, I want to do more and more books so that I get more and more glory, so that is material desire. But if the desire is, I want to do more and more books to please Krishna more and more and please Guru more and more, that is spiritual. Because we don't want results for ourselves. So we do the activity, but we don't want the results. So that is real renunciation. So we have to keep that in mind. So that's what Narad Muni is pointing out here, that you know, if you mention so many topics for enjoyment, and if you present so many things, so people will be bewildered, and they can't understand the main point or the essence of what you are writing. So as Bhagavad Gita it is said, Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kuru nandana bahu shaka yantasya buddha yogasayina. So it has, the intelligence has to be so sharp, it has to be one pointed. Means okay, one pointed means the main thing is Krishna consciousness. And then other things are subsidiary. Okay, everything else goes on. We have to maintain the body, we have a job or we study. So those are subsidiary or secondary. Primary thing is how to get close to Krishna, Krishna consciousness. So that's why this ekeha kuru nandana. So this one-pointed intelligence. Otherwise, if one is not Krishna conscious, avyavasai nama, the avyavasai, one who is not Krishna conscious, his intelligence is many branches. So then he has to deal with so many thoughts, so many desires, and then work on them all life. You know, it's very frustrating, and in the end you lose everything. But if one is Krishna conscious, even if he gains little bit, he is happy. You know, little bit advancement. He actually doesn't want. He just wants service like that. So this is what Narad Muni is explaining to Vyasadeva, that please glorify Krishna so that, and put your full emphasis on it, that okay, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pastimes are supreme. So we should focus on them, we should hear and chant about these pastimes. And all other things of this world, they are temporary. So this material world is dukhalaya mashashvatam, this is a place of misery and this is temporary. If we always keep these two things in mind, that okay, if I want something material, I have this material desire, but that will give me misery and that is temporary, like that. So then we will have this motivation to spend more time or give more heart to Krishna conscious activities, for reading these scriptures, for chanting very nicely. Otherwise, while chanting, we have other material desires in mind, so mind goes here and there, bahu shaka, many branched, it becomes many branched. While chanting, you can see, you know, its branches are coming, oh, this one, and then, you know. So you have to be one pointed. No, we just want to hear, that's it. And when we read, we just want to read. When we glorify, we just want to glorify. Other things will follow. Like that. Other things naturally follow. So Bilba Mangal Thakur, he was saying, he's so busy and gross, and he's engaged in service, devotional service, and bhukti mukti, they are in, you know, they are just material enjoyment, and even the liberation personified, they are standing at his doorstep, and you know, they are saying, how can we serve you? He said, no, I don't have time, I'm doing bhakti. So like that. So devotee doesn't have to so much, you know, be stressed about how to maintain. Krishna maintains everyone, and especially his devotee. Krishna makes sure that devotee comes to him, and he gets all the basic necessities are, anyway, they are just subsidiary, and Krishna looks after that. He's feeding all the living entities in the world, so why he would not feed his devotee like that? So we should focus fully on Krishna consciousness and not get distracted by other things. So I would like to stop there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes.
One comment is, A.K. Guru Nandana, we have to focus on this point, because the relationship between disciple and guru is very, very intimate and very strong, and chastisement is always good on our side from the guru. And then you said also that the guru, whatever order we give, the disciple has to follow it in all circumstances, except when Guru is talking something against service of Krishna. Like Bali Maharaj, for example, you know very well how nicely Prabhupada has put that. Bali Maharaj had to leave Shukracharya for this reason, because he said, no, don't serve Bhagavan. So that's a very classic example. And sometimes Guru, the disciples form also the Guru. You know that Dhavani, a case, then the Queen Bhattam had to fight with his guru, because guru said, you have to marry this girl. And he would have said, no, I have made a promise, I will never marry anybody. So actually there was a fight between guru and disciple, and disciple won. And guru said, yes, you are right. What you are saying, what you are doing is correct. So guru knows what he is saying. So even those extreme circumstances, still disciple has to follow Guru's command.
Thank you. Thank you. Anything else?
Yes, Prabhu. Why is your attention to the Guru for following the Guru's instructions and following the orders?
Because that's Guru's instruction is Krishna's instruction. As we know, the Sakshadharitvena Samasta Shastra, all the scriptures proclaim that His Guru is equivalent to Krishna. Because Guru is so pure, so Krishna actually directs through Guru. So that's why Guru's instruction is actually, we take it as Krishna's instructions. And as Prabhu is saying, because a Guru who is purified, who is in line of disciplic succession, he becomes a via media, you know, he's transparent via medium. So through him, Krishna's instruction is actually coming to us. Because we are not as pure as yet to take direct instructions from super soul within the heart, so the super soul expands as guru to give instructions which are same as super soul's instructions. Okay. Anything else?
Especially ISKCON
guru.
Bonafide.
All the bonafide. It is said, one Prabhupada's lecture I was hearing too, he was saying these different sampradayas, they are like different political parties. So political party has a goal to benefit, take care of the citizens. The same way all the bona fide parties, they should work together like that. But of course we can see within all the Vaishnava sampradayas at the moment ISKCON is like a live wire and preaching is going on. So we connect to the live wire and get charged. So that's the benefit at the moment. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.